design decisions that can put you in a position, kind of sets you up for failure as far as like your branding goes and how people perceive you from the outside looking in.
Welcome back to Duo On Air. I'm Abby.
And I'm Courtney.
And we're the X Agency turned entrepreneurial team that puts the Duo in Duo Collective. Our boutique organic marketing agency specializes in SEO, social media strategy, and branding.
We're an everyday pair of business besties slash marketing experts obsessed with helping our community learn more about what it takes to run a business.
Which is why on Duo On Air, we're not holding anything back. We're giving you all the info we know about how to grow your business organically so you can be the confident CEO you were made to be.
And how to navigate life as a small business owner.
Whether it's on your own or with your best friend by your side. So grab your coffee.
Or your mimosa. We don't judge.
And settle in for a quick value-packed episode of Marketing Tips.
Welcome back to the Duo On Air podcast. This is episode number 122, and today we're diving into the side effects of investing, or lack thereof, in cheap design. So before we jump in, we just want to preface that we are not throwing shade at anyone who has, made a bad investment or is just beginning their brand and they are DIYing their own stuff. That's not what this episode is about. We are more wanting to educate you on if you are in the beginning phases of your business, you know, what are some things that you can watch out for, and really just touching on some of those design decisions that can put you in a position that kind of sets you up for failure as far as like your branding goes and how people perceive you from the outside looking in. So again, we're not saying that DIYers or anybody like that, we're not saying that that's bad, because a lot of businesses have to do that. And we've worked with a lot of businesses who have been there and came to us for that next level of branding or design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, there's nothing wrong with having to pull in a designer or someone that might not be as experienced or leverage family and friends. Nothing wrong with that. At the end of the day, you have to do what you have to do to get your business off the ground. It's more about, let's make sure you don't pour money into something and end up with a bad investment that's going to end up costing you more money down the road. So that's what we want to equip you with. And then if you are doing the low cost, budget friendly route, because you have to, like, we want to give you some tips on what to watch out for and how to ask the best questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it breaks our hearts when we have clients come to us and they're like, yeah, I paid this amount of money for this design and it's not working. Mm-hmm.
Or just unhappy.
Yeah, just unhappy with how something turned out. Let's say you did go with your cousin or something because they're in graphic design and you're like, wow, this just was like pulling teeth, or it was really hard to get through and I don't like what I have. So it just breaks our hearts when we see that. So we want to just kind of talk to you guys about that today in this episode. So we're going to start with what we call quote unquote cheap design. Cheap design, the first thing, the biggest thing, is that the aesthetics are focusing only on a logo. You've probably heard us chirp about this multiple times in other podcast episodes, but a brand is not just a logo. It is so much more than a logo. So if somebody were to come to us and all they had was a logo, we would want to obviously build on that to build the entire brand. We see so many people out there that have just a logo and they think that's their brand, and everything that they use for their brand is just that logo, but your brand is so much more than that. And that's a really easy way to see that somebody might have just, you know, used a cheap design or bought a template or something like that, because they don't expand further on their brand than just that one mark.
I don't think any really good designer out there will just build a logo. And that might even be just like a way to deter if you are investing in someone else. If someone else will only build you a logo and not anything else and actually agree to it, that might not be the best solution for you, because again, like, that's not your brand.
Right. Or if you are working with a designer and they say that they'll make you a logo for like $100, that's always a little bit of a red flag. And I get when designers are starting out, they, you know, they want to get their name out there and they're eager to work on something. So they're going to charge really low rates for stuff like that. It's funny when we have some, I mean, just in the past, we've had some clients come through and they're like, I spent $100 on this logo. And you're kind of like, that's great and all, but design is so much more than just that $100 mm-hmm. logo that you have.
Yeah. I'd say logos are the boringest part of your brand. Usually.
They usually literally are. Like, they're actually kind of the like most boring part to work on too, which I'm not like, I love what I do, but it's just so much more. And like the other assets that really pull the brand together and bring it to life are so fun, and your logo is obviously a part of that, but there's so many other pieces that your brand encompasses that you can really bring to life visually. So another one is generic and template based creative. So you might see a brand out there that is X, Y, and Z service, and then you might see another brand that's X, Y, and Z service, and wow, they look very similar. And the reason for that is probably because they both use a generic template of some sort. This is something that we see a lot. You see logos in Canva. There's tons of free options in Canva for logos. So if you're picking one of those and using that for your brand, don't be surprised if you see it out there with somebody else's brand, because Canva is a free tool. So anybody that has that free tool for Canva, they can essentially use the same logo, same branding as you. So just be careful if you're doing something like that to try to at least spin it and give it some sort of uniqueness that's really specific for your brand, because obviously we don't want to look like other brands out there. That's not the point of our brand. We want to stand out. We want to be differentiated amongst our competitors and anyone out there. So just kind of being cautious when using those generic templates, because again, you could look like five other people out there that are doing something similar or something totally different. You guys just happen to use the same generic template. And then cut corners with the design. So anything like low quality design tools or not saving out files correctly. Let's say you are in Photoshop or you are in Illustrator, making sure that you know how to save out high-res images or PNGs or graphics. And when you're using those graphics in certain spaces, making sure that the legibility is there and the quality is there. It's not blurry. It's not too small. It's not illegible. So just making sure that any tool that you're working in creating your brand, or if somebody else is creating your brand for you, just learning these tools, getting to know these tools, and making sure that what they give you is the quality that you need, whether it's digital or print.
And I'm curious too, I know like a few things just from the history of what we've worked on, but I know there's probably corners that you've seen people cut, and there are occasionally times where we build on someone's existing brand, but even if the logo looks the same from the viewer's eyes, you might have gone in and made changes because it was super sloppy. And like, there's there are things that no one else would notice, but you as a designer, it's like very clear. So I'm curious what kind of corners you've seen.
Yeah, that's a really great question. So the legibility one is a big one, especially when it comes to logos that have way too much copy in them or are using multiple different fonts. You want to make sure that you can see these things at different scales for sure. And I see misalignment all the time. It's so funny. I am such a stickler for things being aligned, you know, properly, whether it's symmetrical or asymmetrical, but you still have things that need to align within logo. So you'll see things that are like slightly off. And I don't know if I'm just like an alignment freak or like call me the police officer of alignment, but anytime I see stuff like that, I'm like, wow, like that's a real, like I can quickly see that that's not aligned correctly, or it's, you know, justified left and it should be centered or something like that. So those are things that even just like the tiniest little details like that, that I pick up and notice on, that you can kind of tell that somebody, you know, that maybe isn't quite as advanced had worked on, or if somebody DIY'd it, they weren't looking at those specific things. Templates, again, it's really easy to kind of poke and like feel out templates, who's used a template, who hasn't. Sometimes when people use templates, you think that they're kind of dummy proof, but sometimes you can tell that they used a template and they didn't adjust it the way that they should have within that space. Another thing, I think, kind of being fixated on fads and constantly changing your brand is something that we see a lot in order to fit those fads. Again, Canva is this tool that's great. It's super lovely, especially for non-designers. But I think when non-designers get in there, they think that they're designers and they get fixated on these templates and these fads and they start to use them. And then if that changes in, let's say, 6 months, they feel like they also have to change with that. So they're constantly kind of like changing this look and feel and tone of their brand. And you can see that if they're, you know, posting templates to Instagram or Pinterest or updating graphics on their website, you can kind of see them go through these fads. And that's kind of a red flag as far as just like using those free tools. So you just got to be really cautious about using those free tools and not trying to fall into that fad trap for sure. And then using free assets. Free assets are great, but you can find so many free assets out on the internet as far as illustrations, logos, fonts, all of that stuff. But just being cautious about using those too, because they really can start to create this non-unique brand because they are free. You can find pretty cheap assets on places like Creative Market. We use Creative Market as a tool for us when building brands, and they have really great stuff on there too that sometimes they're really inexpensive, like 15, 20 bucks if you wanted, you know, something that was a little bit more unique from icon perspective or illustration perspective. So really tapping into those tools versus always trying to find something that's like free.
I feel like too, like, and this is something that I realize as a non-designer, and I probably would have never realized it otherwise, is that even though, so like sometimes we purchase elements and we use things in Creative Market, but you never use them as is. Like you are always right. Like, oh, I bought this pattern just for this one icon, or I bought this icon, but I'm going to change it because I want it to be thicker or bolder or whatever to match the brand. And I think that's a benefit when you work with an expert designer that knows what they're doing, is that they can source things that will help save time and dollars in your project because you're not hand drawing it or creating it from scratch, mm-hmm. which then helps save money on the client side of things. But it's also going to be uniquely yours because you can manipulate and change those items after you buy them, which is not something a non-designer can usually do.
Right, right. Yeah, whenever we do work with clients, we always have an asset bucket for them. And that asset bucket is essentially for things like Creative Market. But it is really fun to, you know, if I have to buy a pattern, if it's like very specific or something, or more generic, either way, you can find really fun things on Creative Market. But I have, usually I jump in there, like Gabby said, I purchase that asset, but then I manipulate it to be specific for that brand. Because again, it kind of gets into that thing where like, well, so if I can buy it, Joe can buy it, and Sarah mm-hmm. can buy it, and Jane can buy it. And that's true. But if you're working with somebody like myself or somebody that's a more experienced designer, they can buy those things. But they can also, they have the tools to manipulate them and they have the vision to manipulate them. So they can definitely make it more personalized for your brand. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are some good design? Like what do you see when you see good design? It's very strategic and purposeful. When you see good designs, you really know that you see good designs. And we're all shoppers at the end of the day. So we all see these things, whether it's on Etsy, whether it's in our big retail stores like Target, whether it's, you know, our mom and pop shop down the street, we all deal with brands on the daily. And you know, when you see a good design, people get inspired when they see good design. They see that things were purposeful. They were strategic. They had a vision and a thought going into their brand. And you can just see that. It just comes through. And you get so excited about the brand that you want to support the brand. You want to buy from that brand. And it's because you have this emotional connection to that brand because of the way it looks and the way it sounds and the way that you interact with the people who built that brand. So it really is super powerful. And I don't think that we think about it a whole lot when we are shopping as shoppers, but I think about it all the time. Anytime I love shopping Whole Foods, actually, because I look at all the packaging design there and I just get so inspired. Like, there's this mac and cheese brand. I should know the name of it because we're talking brand, but I'm a little foggy right now, but I love their packaging and we don't eat mac and cheese like daily. So we never buy it, but I literally want to buy that mac and cheese and just be like, I just bought it because the branding is fun and the packaging is fun and the way they communicate is fun. So next time you are shopping, I urge you to just kind of like stop for a second and think about the brand and why you're shopping that brand. Like, what got you excited about that brand? You know, how did they stop you in your tracks? Was it the way they spoke to you? Was it how they interacted with you? Was it the visuals? Like, there's so much that goes into that brand that gets you excited. So really just kind of stopping and thinking about that, because it is powerful. It's really powerful. A lot of these brands, people buy brands because of their packaging sometimes. They don't even, they've never tried them. They've never heard of them, but they see them and they're like, wow, this is like a really cool package. I just want to buy this brand because it's really well thought out and put together.
Yeah. And think about that. So there's kind of two reasons why someone might buy something, right? It's one, like cost, like you're buying something that you need. So you're buying the cheapest generic off-brand version on the shelf because you know you need it and you don't care. So, you know, canned tomatoes, who cares? Like, I'm going to buy the off-brand. I feel like we need to stick with the CPG route and like shopping at Whole Foods right now. But there are other things where you might spend more money, or money isn't even a factor, because you immediately see the brand, you trust the brand, it looks high quality, it looks like you're going to get a good value. And so you pay more money without even having like a second thought on the fact that you're paying more money because of the way it showed up in like your view, basically. So I think that's something to think of too, like as whether you're a service or a product-based business, do you want people to buy you because you're the generic off-brand version and they're going to get you for cheap? Like, every once in a while, some people are building that brand, but is that really the brand you want to build? Or do you want to build the brand that people will spend more money for and see more value in because of the way that you show up?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think both her and I are very big Primally Pure users, and they are one of the brands that I absolutely adore to this day. Their branding is stunning. It's super clean. Their communication is amazing. Their photography style, their packaging, and their product is amazing too. So at the end of the day, that's great as well. But it is a brand that I absolutely love and involve myself with and shop from all the time. And a lot of that is because of their brand presence. Another thing is being aligned with brand values and a dream audience. So making, you know, if you're, again, Primally Pure is probably a great example of this. They have really strong brand values. And when it comes to their products, they've got really clean products. They tell you about their process. They tell you about their story, their mission, their vision. So things like that are super important too. When people think brand and visuals, they sometimes don't tend to think about that strategic background with that brand. And that's just as important as the visuals. Like, who are you? Who are you serving? Why are you serving them? How are you going to get them excited to purchase your service or your product? And really diving into that story, because stories sell. We've talked about this a lot too. And capturing those emotions of your shoppers and buyers is super key, as well as pulling them in visually too. And then considering things like psychology, the industry, how you plan to use these assets. I think a lot of people are like, great, I've got this pretty brand and I've got the strategy behind it, but how am I going to leverage this? Who am I going to talk to? Who am I going to attract, and how am I going to attract them? So really thinking deeper in your brand and how you're going to use those assets and what it looks like out there when your brand is in the world.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the hidden cost of what a cheap design might get you. So when you have invested or not invested and just kind of gotten your brand on the cheap and you're just trying to build your business, it's basically, we just wanted to dig into like what these costs are, whether it's money or future opportunities that you might have lost because of it. So one is, you have about a couple seconds to capture someone's attention on your website and get them to hang on. And if you have a really bad first impression, you're going to lose customers. And so that's first, the loss is that if you're working on driving traffic to your website, you're going to lose customers instantly because people aren't spending time on your page. And there's also a really easy way to check if this is happening to you, because if you have Google Analytics installed, you can actually see the engagement rate. so you can see how long people are engaging. And if your engagement rate is really low, like I'm talking a couple seconds low, that's usually a sign that you're not capturing people and they're not hanging on. So honestly, like a minute is good for an engagement rate on Google Analytics. So if you have anything like 30 seconds and higher, that's good. I want you to think like it's bad or you have an issue happening if you're in like the few second mark, because that means people on average are landing on your page and leaving within the first few seconds. Your brand's really going to lack brand recognition and any differentiation. So Courtney kind of mentioned about how when you're buying templates, like if you go to Pinterest and you search a therapist logo or I'm trying to think of like other examples right now and I can't think of any.
I mean, any industry, honestly.
Home building, like, you know, like if you go to a home building, for example, if you search that, like you're going to see a lot of generic templates that are very much the same, like that
like
industry.
A stick frame house with a door and a window, and then another stick frame house,
a wood,
with two
a
doors
tree. It's like very, very similar templates, and you're gonna lose that differentiation, or that like people aren't gonna be able to recognize you. So, if you're in a really saturated market where a lot of other people are in the same industry as you and you have a lot of competition, you need to be memorable and you need to stand out. And a cheap design isn't going to do that for you. It's not going to provide any of that recognition and that continue to come back, because they might be like, oh, I thought you were this company. I didn't remember.
Right. And if you're struggling with that, and if you're like, well, I'm in the home building industry or remodel industry, how do I make a logo that shows what my brand is about and like tells what my brand is about without using a stick frame house? Like, how do I do that? That's where professional designers come in and they can help you craft that, right? Because at the end of the day, they're going to be like, we don't want to look like X, Y, and Z. We don't want to look like every other remodeler or home building business out there. So we're going to take this from a strategic standpoint and look at other things in your business that could really make your logo and your branding unique that aren't those kind of corny template, cheesy things that you would find on Pinterest if you searched that. So if you're struggling with that, that's okay. That it's not your job to fix that. It's working with a brand designer who's going to be able to help you fix that and really make your logo and your brand unique.
Yeah. And it's not to say like we've designed logos for that type of industry too. And they do have like a house or a tree or whatever assets in it, but it's not just that. Like the logo, the branding expands well beyond just a little icon that might be in your main logo. Like there's so many other elements that make the brand. And so when you when you're purchasing a template or looking at, you know, a logo on 99 designs that you're just going to buy and you can't manipulate it, like you're just going to fall into the sea of sameness and you're not going to stand out.
Yeah.
So the really big one here is that you're going to see a lower perceived value on your offerings. And this one's huge, because if people perceive you as that generic off-brand version, you're going to have a really hard time increasing the value of your offerings, your products, your services, and just continuing to grow and scale your business. And I actually see this all the time where I have people come in for SEO inquiries and they're like, I'm trying to grow. Like I'm trying to reach a more luxury audience or a more upscale audience. And I need SEO to help me do that. And that's kind of sometimes where I want to respond and say, I don't think SEO is your problem. I think branding is your problem.
Here's Courtney.
Yeah, because, and this is, it's honestly like something I struggle with, I think, is like, I don't know how to respond because they didn't reach out for branding and I don't want to hurt their feelings because, you know, Midwest nice. But there are times where I instantly look at their website and I see like, yeah, I can drive you more traffic, but I am not going to be able to fix the perceived value that people are coming to you for, because just looking at your website, like I don't see you as a luxury provider.
Right.
So that part is really hard, but it's kind of the hard truth of like, if you do, like, yes, you need to drive website traffic, but you also need to be perceived as that luxury high-end brand too.
Yeah. Yeah. We also have had clients come in and inquire about both SEO and branding, and they can't do both at the same time, or they want to phase it. And they'll always ask us too, what should I do first, SEO or branding? And we'll always give you our honest opinion. And sometimes it changes. It really does depend
change.
On your brand and your SEO and how how all of those things are working. But sometimes it's brand and sometimes it's SEO. So
Yeah. So obviously that's a big cost. Without, it's not like we're talking about the hidden cost as in like you're losing money, like you're spending dollars on dollars on dollars on like all this cheap collateral. That's not the case. You're losing money in the ability to grow. Like that's the real hidden cost of this, because you're going to have a hard time increasing your pricing. You're going to have to overly compensate to do extra marketing to really justify all of that poor branding that you have. So, and here's the deal. You already know this, like a lot of people already know this, but money speaks louder than pretty much anything else. And if you can get a deal on something, you're going to do it. And half the time, like I know I do this, like someone tells me I can't do something, I'm going to be like, oh, heck, I can. Like you tell me I can't go find a good designer on these like tools, I'll be like, I'll find that diamond in the rough. Like, challenge me. Like, I know that there are people out there listening to this that are going to think that, like, they're going to think like, this won't be me. Like, I'll be able to find that designer in the rough and they will, I'll get them for cheap. And trust me, I love working with people at the beginning of their journey. Like, absolutely love it because they want to grow. I will help train them and grow with them. Like, I love that. That's great. And I think there can be really great opportunities for that too. So we know reality is a handful of you are still going to turn to these tools. So things like 99 Designs, Fiverr, Upwork. So we wanted to share a little bit about our take on it. Unscripted.
Unscripted. Unfiltered. Yeah. So to be very transparent, anytime somebody comes to us and they're like, I got my logo on 99 Designs, or have you heard of Fiverr? And I'm like, yeah, unfortunately I have. It does make me cringe a little. I totally understand why these services are there. I understand why people go to them. It's very, you know, it's a budget friendly thing when you're first starting out your brand or your business. Sometimes people, that's all people know. Sometimes people are like, well, I only know of these sites. If I'm going to, you know, quote unquote kind of DIY stuff, I have to go to these sites. I, you know, can't work with a brand designer, or I might not have the funds at the moment to work with a brand designer. And that's fine. But we honestly would never recommend these platforms just because it's that saying, you get what you pay for. Mm-hmm. So usually if you find a designer on there that says, I'll make you a logo for $100, they are going to put a handful of hours into this logo. They're getting paid.
Only one.
Yeah. Well, I bet you they put more than an hour into it. So that means that it's like very undercharged, right?
Yeah.
And which is also kind of a sad thing, which is also makes it a little cringier, but that's what they're on these platforms. They know that, you know, they know the money they're making. They know that they might just be doing a one-off logo here for $100. And it also kind of hurts brand designers because if I were to just design one logo, it wouldn't be just $100. It would be more than $100 too. So just,
and I never let her.
Right. And we're not in the business of just designing logos because that's not a brand. But they, like Abby said, there are likely new designers and very talented designers that are hiding out on these platforms. And if you do your research and really dive into it, you can probably find them. But it's probably going to be a little bit harder than just jumping on the site and picking out Chelsea as your designer or whatever. So,
or bidding for the lowest option.
Right, yeah. Right. Again, you get what you pay for. So the biggest drawbacks here usually are lower quality work and less experienced designers, which we've kind of just briefly talked about. But if your budget is super tight and DIY is not an option for you because you're like, I don't have a designer bone in my body, and you have no one in your close circle to turn to, like a cousin or a sister or a friend, then this is what we want you to know for these kind of sites. So a few tips for searching for a good designer on 99 Designs, Fiverr, or Upwork. Look beyond the price. So like Abby said, don't just jump on there and like bid for the lowest price or the best budget or, you know, friendly budgets, because that is going to give you those lower budget designers. That's going to give you somebody that's not quite as experienced. So you really want to focus on these designers' portfolios, their experience, and their communication skills. Try talking to them if you can, looking at their portfolio, looking at their pieces, because if you dive into their actual portfolio and their experience and what they've done, you might start to relate to them a little bit more, or they're going to have maybe an aesthetic that fits your brand. If you go after just anybody and you don't look at what they've done or their experience, you don't really know what you're getting, because different brand designers usually have kind of different styles, so to say. So if you're looking for something really boho, then maybe you should start searching for designers in that space that focus on that aesthetic, because you know that that's something that they love to do, and you can look at their portfolio, and if it's something that you resonate with and you're really liking visually, then they would probably be a designer that would be more beneficial for you within that space.
Yeah. Another thing too, and I would say you can take these tips, like even if you're sourcing someone through a Facebook group, or you're however you are sourcing a designer, like these are just kind of tips to watch out for. And even if you are investing, like these are still good things to watch out for.
Yeah.
Don't choose the cheapest option. Also read through reviews. So most of these tools will have their own review section. You can also like look them up, see if they have a Google business profile, read reviews on there. Look at both positive and negative. And even if there is like negative reviews, don't ever deter me. Negative reviews for me, I want to see if the business owner responded and how they responded. That speaks volumes to like how I'm going to perceive that. So I actually kind of like when I can read through negative reviews, because I kind of make judgments on like how that happened, because we all know like negative reviews can happen and it doesn't reflect on the business overall.
Yeah. And I did briefly touch on this, but try to engage in real conversation before hiring them. We have a list of questions that we're going to put in the show notes for regardless of where you are with hiring someone. But for example, if you want to know what tool they're designing in for your branding assets, ask them that. And if you find out that they're designing in Canva, that might be a little bit of a red flag that you don't want to work with them, because typically brand designers and a little bit more elevated designers aren't going to work in Canva. That is going to be more of a junior designer, maybe somebody who isn't even really a designer, but they're kind of just doing this for fun. So anybody that works in Photoshop or Illustrator, especially for branding assets, those are going to be the people that you want to work for, because those are actual design tools that more advanced designers are creating branding elements in.
Yeah. And then finally, ask for references and actually reach out to those references. So reach out to past clients. And honestly, this is not a weird question to ask. I know like you might be like, wow, I feel uncomfortable asking such a direct question. But if we get that question, I will gladly list out like a number of people that we've worked with. And I would love for them, because honestly, like in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I'd love to send you to our clients. They'll do the selling for us. We don't even have to worry about it. Like if you're a good designer and you have good past clients and projects, then that's great. Like they shouldn't even hesitate to give you those references so that you can reach out to them. And this is, I mean, if someone's a brand new designer and they're transparent with you about that, like, hey, I'm brand new, I just started this, then you have to use the other questions as your guide, because that happens. Like, yeah, we started Duo 5 years ago and we didn't have references under Duo. We were able to share other examples for things, but there will always be a point in time at the beginning of someone's business where they don't have references, but it should still be a really good question to ask. And we even invited a past brand client on our podcast. So if you tune into episode 101, you can listen to Sarah's whole experience for branding. And it's something that we love to share the behind the scenes on.
Yeah. And I think we're going to continue to do more of those episodes going forward with some of our brand clients, because it's really just fun to get their perspective on all of it too.
Yeah.
So you need some new branding. What do you do now? We're going to talk a little bit about DIYing versus hiring a professional designer. So yes, you can DIY your brand. We have seen it. There are people that are actually very successful at this. Sometimes this is just where somebody needs to start before they can actually invest in branding. And that's okay. A lot of us start there. That really is fine. It's just fortunate for Abby and I that I was a designer when we started our business.
Fortunate for me.
So Abby didn't have to DIY anything. That was something that we just knew that we would be able to do for ourselves. So really, this is for you in the early days of your business. We do have a guide for you, which is really exciting. It's our freebie. It's our Brand Basics DIY guide. So if this is somewhere that you would like to start, definitely look at that guide, download that guide.
We'll link put it in the show notes. We'll put it in the show notes. And I think too, like, it'll guide you on all of those things that you don't know you need,
right,
like through that whole process, because that's like the process we do with our clients too and think through. It's probably not quite as detailed, but it definitely is the best route for DIY.
Yeah. Things about like picking your colors, your fonts, diving deep into understanding your audience and the brand vibe. So again, it's not just about that logo. It's questions that you might not even think to ask yourself that really takes you through this guide and helps you to DIY your own brand. However, if you do have the budget, hiring a professional designer is obviously the best route to go. And if you are unsure if you have that budget, then start reaching out to some of these designers and inquiring. Some of them are obviously going to have different packages or different levels of design that you can hire them for. But if you're unsure, if you're like, what does a brand even cost? It's going to be different for different brand designers, and that's okay. And just start reaching out to them, inquiring, getting on their books, talking to them, seeing what their packages are, and then kind of going from there, depending on which package works best for you from a budget perspective and from a brand alignment perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then also focus on finding the right designer. Like, don't just chase someone who's the most popular person that you've seen on Instagram or in your inbox. Really focus on someone who's right for you. And right, and I personally think, comes down to both like their design aesthetic, but also their personality.
Yes.
Like, you need to jive with them and they need to be able to understand you. And you should have a good feeling after your first discovery call with them. You should feel like, oh, I get it. I know that they're going to understand me and what I want to do. And then just making sure you're not chasing, like we've already talked about, fads and like things. Just because you like the way a different brand looks doesn't mean it's right for you. Like that, and a good designer should be able to point you in the right direction and saying like, okay, I see why you like that. And I think we can maybe go this direction instead because this doesn't fit your brand X, Y, and Z because of your mission, your vision, your purpose. Like, it just isn't going to serve you well in the long term. So asking those questions is going to be really important.
Yeah. And we're not the right designer for everyone. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, if somebody inquires and we don't fit or whatever, that's fine. We're not always going to be the right designer for everybody out there either. And then when you are looking to hire designers, make sure again to check their portfolios, look at those real design examples, look at those reviews. And then thinking about that longevity of your brand versus chasing fads or styles. Again, we've talked about this a lot, but longevity of a brand is super, super important too, because you want to make sure that your brand can live 5, 10, 15 years if it needs to. So making sure that you're not falling into this realm of, oh, well, everything is boho right now, so I have to do boho because I need to like fit in with everybody and make sure that people like my brand visually. And that is so not the case. Like, your brand needs to reflect you, your services, or your products, and it needs to have legs to stand long term versus being outdated in just 6 months to a year.
When we were rebranding Duo, there was a couple, we did the same process for us as we did for our clients. And so we went through a mood board phase. And
I'm very curious what you're going to say.
What I'm going to say. Yeah. There was one mood board that we honestly really, really loved. And it was bright. Like, it was really bright. It was like Barbie pink. And the second, it was super fun.
But
we had a, like, that was the one we were going back and forth on versus the brand you see now on our website. And we had to have a serious gut check on if that brand was right for us and our personality. And at the end of the day, I don't think, like, Courtney probably lives the bright pink more than I do. I'm definitely not as
even
bright.
Though your fingernails are bright pink right
now. I know they are. They're really grown out from, you don't look at them closely, but, but that's something too that we had to think about, like, okay, is this going to match our personalities? And then I also was concerned that, honestly, the Barbie movie hype right now, I was really worried we were going to fall into this like sea of sameness because a lot of people were jumping on the Barbie train.
Yes, they were.
And so it was something where, although that was really fun in the moment, I actually think the brand we have now serves the longevity way better, and it serves us more from that stance.
Yeah, so we had a big conversation. It took us a while to narrow down our mood boards.
Which is funny. It's like we created the stuff that took us a long time to decide.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's big conversations when it comes to making, like, building your brand and making sure that it aligns to you and your business and your product. And you're excited to show up in that brand. You have to be excited to show up in your brand, because if you're not, then there is no point, because your brand has to excite you. Because if it doesn't excite you, that's going to reflect and show up in your business, and your clients or buyers are going to see that you're not very excited about your brand. So why should they be?
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to get excited if you're not living it, breathing it, and excited about it.
Yeah. I actually think that brand would have felt too big for me. Like, does that make sense? I would have felt maybe a little bit intimidated by it. Like, I always had to, like, be on, or I don't know, like, just because it is loud,
like, we can't that maybe sit here in our yoga pants like we are right now.
Like, we can't just chill and show up as we are because it felt so loud. And I think that's something too, like, I feel comfortable in our brand.
Yeah,
like, not that it's like comfortable as in boring and it doesn't make me want to, like, go out of the box, but I feel confident and comfortable in this brand.
Yep.
And I think that's a feeling you should also have as you're doing, like, any kind of rebrand or any kind of build out. Like, you should feel comfortable and confident and, like, excited about it.
Absolutely. Yep. The next thing, ask about payment plans. We build out brands all the time, and we have certain set packages, but sometimes these people that are starting out their new brands or businesses, they need a longer payment plan because they can't pay 50% upfront, or they can't do X, Y, and Z. And so we really try to meet our clients in a comfortable space as far as what those payment plans look like, where it's fair for everybody, because we want to make sure that if you can work with us, but our payment plan needs to be a little bit longer, we would rather you do that than feel like you can't work with somebody to make the brand of your dreams, essentially. Yeah.
And respect your designer's opinion on that, too. We have not gotten burned on the fact that we sometimes don't have payments in full before we deliver the assets. That hasn't happened to us at this point. We have solid contracts. So, like, yeah, we could go after someone. But we are very flexible depending on the needs, depending on the person and all of that situation. Like, we have been very flexible, but there are other designers that have been burned on things like that before. And so because of that, they might require full payments upon completion of delivering the assets. So, and that's okay. Like, everyone gets to choose how they want to do their payment plans, but at the end of the day, it doesn't hurt to ask.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last thing, pretty please think beyond just a logo. Your brand is so much more than a logo. We talk about this all the time. It's your colors, it's your fonts, it's your submarks, your patterns, your typography, how you show up, how you leverage these assets, the consistency of your brand from one marketing channel to the next. We really want you to think of your brand as this all-encompassing thing versus just a logo. In episode 96, how to use a logo and submark. So if you're confused on how do I use these brand or these brand assets, or what is the difference between a logo and submark, tune into that episode. If you don't think you need them, then this episode is even more for you, because it really breaks down why you need them and why they're important. And again, why your brand is way more than just that logo. So regardless of whatever route you take, DIYing, hiring a designer, going to Fiverr, seeking out a professional, we hope that this episode has helped educate you a little bit in all of the realms of building a brand and the different levels that you can take upon starting a brand, and kind of what to watch out for if you are going down a DIY route or a Fiverr route or what have you. So we really hope that this helped, and maybe it even helped clarify and answer some questions on whether or not you should hire a professional designer too. We'd love to hear your guys' thoughts about this episode, because it touches on a lot of different things, and brands are very personal. So, you know, it can get very emotional when you're building out a brand too. It really does break our hearts to see cheap design that affects clients' growth year after year, and that doesn't excite clients. So when you think of a brand, just remember too that it can affect your growth and your business and your goals and how you move forward. I don't think a lot of people think of branding as that. I think a lot of people kind of undermine branding or don't give branding the love and the strategy that it does deserve and that it does need. So just think about that when you're in your brand and working on your brand. And if your brand doesn't excite you, then maybe you should tune into episode number 22 if a rebrand is potentially right for you at the moment.
And if you think that you need a new brand and you can't afford it, we have a little something that you can apply to. If you go to duocollective.com/duogivesback, you can actually apply to maybe be selected for some branding this year. So free of charge.
Free of charge. Yes. So yes, whether you're DIYing, hiring a professional, we really hope this episode helped kind of break some of those things down and maybe give you a little bit more clarity on how to move forward with your brand.
If you liked this episode, please be sure to share it with a friend and subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes dropping every Monday. Plus, if you haven't already, please leave us a review and don't hesitate to share any new episode ideas. We love hearing from you and creating this content for you. See you next week.